You're listening to A Date with Data with your host, Amy Bitterman.
Hey, it's Amy, and I'm so excited to be hosting A Date with Data. I'll be chatting with state and district special education staff who, just like you, are dealing with IDEA data every day.
A Date with Data is brought to you by the IDEA Data Center.
Hello. On this episode of A Date with Data, we are joined by Tori Chance, who is a data research analyst with the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Tori is going to talk to us about how Missouri is working to build their LEA's capacity to collect, analyze, report, and use high-quality IDEA data. Tori, welcome. Can you start off by saying a little bit about your role and what you do at the department?
Sure. So my role is mostly Part B data manager, data research analyst. I work with all of the indicator data. I have no specific focus. However, what I do work on is collecting data and helping our stakeholders use the data. Mm-hmm. So I contact LEAs, walk them through calculations, how they collect their data. I verify data. We use data in different reporting situations in which I help collect and prepare those reports. I give presentations to our stakeholders as well as help out other areas of special education with any data requests they need and data literacy and understanding what they do, as well as help develop systems and information to help educate our LEAs in better use of data.
Great. So lots of data work. So you're perfect for this podcast.
Yes.
And on this podcast, we do like to have states sharing with one another what's working for them, what are some tips or strategies they have. So I want to start off by asking if there's one data lesson that you could share with your peers in other states, what would that be?
I've been in my role for about 5 years. And in that time, the one thing I've really learned is when we're talking to our LEAs, they really don't understand the words we're using when we're discussing data. And so the one thing I could say is learn to present what you're explaining to them in plain language, in ways in which they can understand the data without understanding data itself. It's like the first step in understanding data literacy is to understand what they're looking at. And so taking the time to work with them, building a trusted relationship with them, and breaking down what each section of data means for them and their LEA is really like the first step in creating that better quality of data.
Great, thank you. So given that, you've already kind of started by sharing a strategy that I think you've been using in Missouri, but what are some others that you use to help build LEA's IDEA data capacity?
One of the things that we've been doing for a long time in Missouri, and I think is super effective and helpful, is every year we hold something called the Special Education Directors Academy. And at that academy, we have our compliance team, our effective practice team, the data team. We also have our RPDC or regional professional development centers come, and we present sessions on what data is expected, how to use the data, how to report the data. And then we also answer questions about when you have that data, how do you apply it to the compliance standards or to effective practices and situations within the classroom? And so we spend a lot of time. It's usually a 3-day conference, and all of our new directors are invited to it. The state provides it for free for all of our directors. And in that time, they probably have between 30 and 40 sessions of learning.
And that's in person?
That's in person, yes.
Wow, that sounds very powerful.
I think it's probably one of the most effective strategies we've had, but we're adding to that now. Which I'm excited about. So one of the things we've added is what we're going to call the office hours for data cycles. And so for each data cycle, we're going to have an office hour where the LEAs can contact us and ask questions about their data cycle after a short introduction and overview of what is in that data cycle, what's to be collected, what we're looking for. And then we answer specific questions for them that have to do with that data cycle.
Nice.
And then after that, any more fun stuff for us is that we are also for DISPRO, for disproportionality, significant discrepancy, and significant disproportionality any of our LEAs that are identified have been getting one-on-one Zoom meetings to talk through their data, to understand how the data is collected, how we count the data, and what those calculations look like, so that they can apply them on an ongoing basis in their school system. And with that, we've also instituted a new kind of a directional tool that allows them to do root cause analysis in these areas to help them determine what would be the best plan of action for them to improve their student outcomes.
Great. Wow. It sounds like there's a lot going on and a lot of support for the LEAs around data and data use. So that's great to hear. Are there any challenges that you've encountered related to building LEAs' capacity, and how have you addressed them?
Some of our biggest challenges is turnover. And I know that's a nationwide trend, but we have a lot of turnover in Missouri, to the point where, and I'm sure this is not just us, but where we know that we have a lot of unqualified or untrained professionals in the classroom. And also, those are the same professionals reporting the data. And so one of the things that's been challenging for us is knowing that we have to retrain every LEA every year to help them get through these things, because you can't just walk into this level of data collection and be like, I know what I'm doing, if you don't have experience. So that's really, really kind of been the biggest challenge, and was the driver behind our office hours, actually, was because this provided us an opportunity to meet the needs that they were having, and those new LEAs or new people could come into the office hours and ask any questions without judgment and get the answers they needed to be effective.
What kind of a turnout have you had at the office hours?
Our last one had 154 people.
Wow.
And so that's roughly at least one representative from a third of our districts.
Okay, great. What was the focus? What was the data cycle you were talking about in that one?
We were talking about the October 1st data cycle, which includes personnel reporting and enrollment. And there were a lot of questions.
What were some of the questions that came up?
So one of the questions had to do with enrollment of students that are cross districts. So like some of our students go to a different district because their home district do not have the right resources for that student. So how do you report them? Who's responsible for the IEPs? How do you record that in their system, as an example? Or another common question was, if we have a student that is only able to attend by their IEP like half the school day, how do we report them as their environment, if they're in regular ed all four of those hours, but then they're leave for the other hours, how do we report that? So there's a lot of questions about how to really structure that within the IEP process, as well as how to record that in appropriate data collection.
Yeah, and that's a really nice way to be able to share those questions and answers across the state, across multiple districts, because I'm sure you frequently will get those types of questions. Someone would call you or send you an email, and this way it can be heard by many more.
And we for every question that we received, we wrote the question down, and then we did a answer sheet to all the questions. And for each of the questions, we also linked them directly to the resources they needed to answer the questions, as well as gave the answer to the question. And we plan to continue that for all of our office hours, so that they not only have the answer, but they know where to go get them as well.
That's a great resource. And especially for those who maybe aren't available to be on that particular office hour, they can turn to that and get a lot of that information. What other challenges have you been encountering?
The other challenge that I've been encountering is because of rapid turnover, new people in SPED that may not have a special education background, they're not really familiar with the data at all or the indicators. And so we've noticed this, especially in the Special Education Director's Academy over the last couple of years, when we say something like indicator one, we're talking about graduation data, and they go, what's that? Or any of the other indicators, transition, and knowing that some of the indicators we only collect data every 3 years on, those kinds of things. And so to help with that, and inspired by Rachel, we created a game to help them use fun and game time to learn the indicators and what each pieces of the indicators held.
Great. Yeah, that's Rachel Wilkinson from IDC, who I know did
send
a couple sessions at different institutes and gatherings on that kind of concept of turning it into a game. So
yeah, she for sure was the inspiration for that game.
Great. And is there a particular success story or something that you want to really highlight that you're proud of related to the work you've been doing to build LEA's capacity?
So one of the things that I'm really, or success story proud of, I guess, is that from our current office hours, and so we had the current office hours, and then we had the review meeting with one of our LEAs that was in review for their second year. So this is an LEA that was in Indicator 4B. Mm-hmm. As a flagged LEA. And they took our office process. So when we did our Zoom meeting with them and we talked about the root cause analysis, we talked about how we were collecting data. We talked about how the calculations of the data worked and how they could preemptively do it from their side throughout the year to see how they were doing. And so they were filling out their goal report, which is kind of the update to say, hey, how we're doing. And we had noticed that the risk ratio was down significantly. It hadn't quite crossed the threshold all the way yet, but it was down significantly. And we were curious about what they were doing. And so they were giving us an update about their goals and their progress. And they said that understanding the calculations and how to get them and how to figure them themselves helped them track their data better. And also the root cause analysis piece allowed them to put in place practices to help redirect students that are having discipline issues. And so they went from having, and this is a fairly smaller school, out of 50-ish IEP students, they had 20 OSS incidences greater than 10 days last year. And this year they only have one.
Wow. Yeah, right? That's a dramatic drop.
Yeah, we were super excited for them. So, and I just found that out this morning. So I was,
that's kind of my hot favorite, off the press.
Like hot off the press thing. But the other thing that I'm really kind of proud of is the game because we've played it for our staff meetings. We had a staff retreat to help everybody, not just in data, but in compliance and effective practices, understand the SPP APR. And we played it at the Special Education Directors Academy as well. And the feedback from that has been really, really good, to where some of the school districts have requested copies to play among their special ed teachers on their own, as well as our regional professional development consultants would like to have copies of the game to play in their meetings with their school districts as well, because it really allowed them to put the number next to the children, next to what they're doing and what they're collecting. And I've always considered competency or capacity as a, kind of a continuum. And so we can't get them to using their data and using it effectively to change outcomes if they don't know what the data is to begin with. So I'm really kind of proud of this first step we've taken to implement understanding what the data is and how we collect it and the calculations behind it. As they go forward, they can then use that to build the next step, which is more effective use of the data for changing student outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you put together something that is fun, too, a fun way to learn, I think that just makes it more enticing and more likely that they'll actually use it and engage with it.
Right.
So that's a great strategy. Can you say a little bit more for folks maybe who aren't familiar with this game, kind of what it looks like, how it works?
Sure. So I went to Canva and I picked a free game platform, and it kind of looks like Chutes and Ladders a little bit. And so that's the base, that's the board, and there's a set of dice. And then we took little cards, kind of like a Trivia Pursuit idea, where we had questions about each of the indicators. So currently there's three questions for each indicator, but we plan to expand the numbers available. So each card had the question and the answer. And so the participant would roll the dice. And if they could answer their question correctly, they were able to move forward their number of rolls on the dice. And then it would just kind of like one person would read and the person on their left would roll. And then that person would read and the person on their left would roll until this card circled all the way around the game board. And then there's also the little ladders on there. So if you landed on a box that had a ladder and you answered a secondary question, you could slide down the ladder, kind of like Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah.
But it could also be played just kind of like a memory question game because of the little cards. Mm-hmm. And I did it that way purposely because sometimes you don't have enough time to play like a whole game, but you could have like 10 or 15 minutes to like use them at like flashcards.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So what do you have coming up? What are your plans to continue this trajectory of building LEA's capacity so that, like you said, they are moving on to that next phase of understanding the data and now really being able to use it to make change?
Well, the next thing we have coming up in our spring sessions, when we look at identification and placement, we will have the letters that go out. And instead of just looking at the school districts or the LEAs that were flagged with discrepancies or disproportionality, we're going to also expand that to the ones that are received their warning letters. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a statewide office hours very specifically only about that topic for those districts as well. And then I know that we are also planning, and I'm not sure how far off this is, but this is a planning to do a secondary type of learning platform or modules for more advanced special education directors. We had been trying to do it together in CETA. We've split that apart back to new directors only. Mm-hmm. And our next step and our next plan is to have a more advanced session for those that are advanced directors. So they have three plus years in their leadership and special education directors to focus on more implementation of using the data mm-hmm. for capacity.
Wow. Well, that sounds great. And it's sounds like there's just a lot more to come and a lot you've been doing so well already. And it's wonderful to hear, you know, those stories like the one you described with the the district that saw the drop in their suspension expulsion rates and kind of you can tie that back to like some of, you know, the capacity building and support that you've been providing. So kudos to you all and Missouri.
I'm really proud of the direction we're headed. Mm-hmm. I think we have a long way to go. But I think we're getting there. Yeah. We're getting closer to there, you know?
Yes. Yep. It's a long road, but definitely making strides. So thank you so much, Tori. Really appreciate you being on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
To access podcast resources, submit questions related to today's episode, or if you have ideas for future topics, we'd love to hear from you. The links are in the episode content, or connect with us via the podcast page on the IDC website at ideadata.org.